Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of the Ocean View Podcast. No matter where you're at in our country or around the world, we thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Now sit back and enjoy this week's message. Well, we're wrapping up a message series entitled The Samson Syndrome. So if you're visiting with us, I can catch you up to speed a little bit. We've been looking at a guy by the name of Samson. Samson was a judge in the Bible. If you're not too familiar with Scripture, God used judges in the life of his people, usually to send a message, usually to be able to direct them specifically in their lives. A judge was not a king, but they were a leader of God's people. And if you were here week one, you remember we talked about purpose. And we said that God had a purpose for Samson. And Samson's direct purpose was to lead and guide God's people. In fact, he set apart Samson as a Nazarite, which meant that he shouldn't do a lot of different things and shouldn't partake in a lot of things. But if you've followed along the last few weeks, we've learned a little bit about Samson's character. And what we talked about is Samson had a purpose, and God wanted him to go down a certain path. But we began to look right away, and we saw that Samson would make decision after decision after decision based on desire, based on it's all about me, based on what I want. And instead of going down the path that God wanted, Samson finds himself, week after week we've been looking at this, he is following down a road that continues to get him into trouble. His ego, his pride, everything about Samson is about himself. So God had a purpose for a man to point people to him, and instead that man wanted to point everybody to himself. And we talked about in our lives, whether it be in our home or workplaces, sometimes it becomes all about us. And sometimes pride can well up, and sometimes we think that we have things in control. And it's when all of a sudden life throws a curveball that we begin to struggle. So if you're a type A personality in this room, let me tell you where we're going today. We got two characters we're going to be looking at. We're going to talk about a guy by the name of Samson, and we're going to talk about a lady named Delilah. So you're going to hear the story of Samson and Delilah. If you're not a Christian, you might have heard someone say, Samson and Delilah. Well, you'll learn the story today. It's a long story. There's a lot of scripture, and I'm going to try and connect the dots for you. But two main things that we're going to center around so that way you can follow along is first is this. Is that you're going to see a woman by the name of Delilah use what we call manipulation in the life of Samson. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is this. Do I manipulate at times, or do I fall victim to manipulation? And we're going to take a look at that. There's a second thing we're going to look at, and that's Samson. Because we're going to follow his journey till the end. And we're going to talk about boundaries that Samson should have had in his life so that he doesn't fall victim to manipulation. So we're going to talk about manipulation, and we're going to talk about boundaries. Sounds like a juicy lunch, doesn't it? So if you have your Bible app open, if you've got your smartphone open, we're going to go to Judges chapter 16. We're going to begin in verse 4. There's a lot of scripture to this, and so if you don't like listening to a guy talk for a lot, you can take naps in between, but I'll wake you up at certain points because you don't want to miss a couple of things. Here we go. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the valley of Sorek. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "Entice Samson to tell you what makes him so strong and how he can be overpowered and tied up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." Pause. A couple of notes here. First, Delilah is a woman that Samson should not have been around. In fact, God said to Samson, "You are set apart. You are supposed to be with your people. You're to guide our people." In fact, Samson's mom and dad said, "Samson, you should not fall in love. You should not look for love outside of your tribe." Why in this room is that important? This was not a cultural issue. This was a God issue. Because the Philistines were a group of people who hated God. And so here's Samson, who's supposed to point people to God, and he's interested in women who hate God. Not a very smart decision. Here's another thing that you need to know is that obviously Delilah is there, and I love the Bible because they say, "We'll pay you 1,100 pieces of silver." If you don't believe the Bible is true, I love the detail in the Bible. Because they didn't say 500 pieces of silver, they didn't say 1,000, they said 1,100. And so right then and there you see some details within Scripture, 1,100. You see a lot of different numbers that again show you how detailed the Bible is and accurate it is in guiding our life. Continuing on. So Delilah said to Samson, "Honey, please tell me what makes you so strong and what it would take to tie you up securely." Pause. Men in this room, If you have a girlfriend or a wife who looks at you and says, honey, sweetums, can you tell me what makes you so strong? And can you please tell me what it would take to tie you up so securely? Get out of the house. Run. That should be Samson's first warning sign. What? By the way, sometimes there's a question behind the question. If you sit there and you're wondering, why are you asking me this? You need to ask that question, why are you asking me this? But notice what Samson does. Notice his reply. Take a look at this. Samson replied, well, if I were tied up with seven new bowstrings that have not been dried, I'd become as weak as anyone else. Right off the bat, you see Samson decides to get into the game. I share this often here at our church if you're visiting with us or if you're in the balcony or at home. And I really do believe that as Christians, we would lead our homes in a better way. We would lead our neighborhoods in a better way, our workplaces in a better way, if we would just do one thing, that we would own our actions and own our faith. And what I mean by this is this. There's too many Christians in this room, including myself, who many times, because of what someone else says or does, we perform an action and we say the following words. Well, she did that. Well, he did that. Well, the reason why I did this is because they did that. And here's the truth. It doesn't matter. Because if you're a Christian in this room, your actions are directly tied to your relationship with God. And whatever you say, whatever thought, whatever word, whatever action comes out of you, you have to answer to your God. And so God is going to look at you and say, I don't want to hear about them. I don't want to hear. You feel like a parent in the room? How many of you parents have two siblings and they come, well, he pushed me. I don't care. You shouldn't have thrown him off the roof. Maybe for the rest of the message, that's your word. You need to live a life where you own your action. And the minute your word says, well, he did that, you need to stop. Because it's about your actions and your decisions. You control them. It's not about someone else. Continuing on. So the Philistine rulers brought Delilah seven new bowstrings, and she tied Samson up with them. Don't miss this. She had hidden some men in one of the inner rooms of her house. And she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. But Samson snapped the bowstrings as a piece of string snaps when it's burned by a fire. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Delilah says, honey, please tell me what makes you so strong. Honey, please tell me. If you love me, please, please, please tell me. And so Samson tells her about these bowstrings. And she takes the information and she has the enemy come. And the enemy brings the information and the enemy hides in its place. And here's the truth if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of parallels to this passage and to our hearts. Because Delilah had a lot of secrets, and those secrets were hidden. Sometimes in my Christian life, when I'm not doing the right thing, there's a lot of secrets. And they're hidden. And the truth is there's danger when that happens. Here's another thing that it gives insight to. If you're taking notes, write this down. Secrets give insight to our character. Whether you believe it or not, we all have secrets. There's not one person that knows 100% of how you lived your life. Now, they might know 98, but they don't know 100. And so those secrets that we have inside, they really display our character. And so I want you to look at Delilah, and here's what I want to tell you. Delilah goes to Samson and says, Samson, if you love me, please tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me. What was Delilah doing? Delilah was leveraging her relationship with Samson for what she wanted. There are many of us in this room that unfortunately have gotten into a pattern that in order to get what we want, we leverage what we have with the other individual so we get what we want. I don't know about you, but if you look at the dictionary has a word for that, and it's this, manipulation. Manipulation is leveraging who you are to get what you want. Leveraging who you are with someone else to get what you want. Case in point. You're going out on a Friday night. What do you want to get to eat? You know what? Whatever you want. You name it, we're going to go. Whatever you want. Okay, how about pizza? Well, yeah, okay. No, that's okay. Well, what, you don't want pizza? How about Mexican? Well, I just had Mexican yesterday. You know, I mean, I haven't had steak in a long time, but it's whatever you want. It's whatever you want. Well, do you want to go with steak? Oh, honey, what, you want a steak? That'd be great. Here's the point. That's a silly illustration, but here's the truth. Why don't we just come out and say what we want? A lot of times we fall into the trap of manipulation. There are a lot of marriages that struggle because of manipulation, because we've forgotten what it is to actually trust the other individual, that if we say what we want, that they're going to receive it, and that we can have a dialogue as adults in order to achieve an end goal. But instead, what ends up happening is because of history, don't miss this, because of history, what we end up doing is we end up saying, well, there's an easier way to get what I want. So I will, instead of being truthful and honest, I will manipulate this individual to get to where I want. That speaks to character. When you leverage who you are for what you want, your character takes a hit. It's called manipulation. And Delilah was doing just that. Take a look at this. Afterward, Delilah said to him, "You've been making fun of me and telling me lies." Pause. This woman came up to him and wants to have him basically killed by the Philistines, says, "What does it take to tie you up?" And now she's going to come back and she's going to say, "You've hurt my feelings. You're telling me lies. You've been making fun of me, telling me lies. Now please tell me how you can be tied up securely." And later on in that passage, here's what happens. But again, Samson snapped the ropes from his arms as if they were threads. So again, Samson lies back to her. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Here's the truth. Let's flip over to Samson. There are a lot of times where you're going to be manipulated. Many of you have been in workplaces where you've been manipulated by a boss. Some of you are in marriages right now where you feel like you're manipulated left and right. And so here's the thing that I would say to you. For Samson's life, what should Samson have done? You see Samson's response. He's going back and forth. So for some of you, in order to face manipulation, what do? You manipulate right back. And you say, well, two can play that game. So you do this, and I'm going to do the same thing back at you. And before you know it, you wake up 5 years later, and your marriage is going down the tubes, and you're wondering how you got there. It's because you keep repeating everyone's behavior. Instead of pausing in the moment and answering one specific question, God, in my life, what boundaries should I put in place right now so that I don't succumb to manipulation or I don't succumb to bad behavior? It's all about the boundaries that we build in our lives. Here's a fallacy in Christianity. Some of you that are in here who've been Christians a long time, we tend to think, because when we think of boundaries, we think of parenting, and we think of strong boundaries we place for our kids or we received. We tend to think that they happen one time. That's a lie, and that's why the enemy has such a stronghold on some of our lives. Boundaries are not done once. Boundaries should be thought of every day of our lives. Case in point, I have counseled hundreds and hundreds of couples. I can't tell you, probably about 10 to 15 couples who have the same story, and here it is. Well, I've been married for 25 years. I love my wife. We've never had an issue. I never looked at another woman, never thought of another woman, never had a problem with that. And then all of a sudden, about 2 years ago, there was a woman who joined our staff, and she caught my eye. That man didn't have a need for a boundary in his life at his workplace, because why? He wasn't attracted to anybody else. There was no one that he was looking at. He loved his wife, and he was having a great time. The 2 years prior, all of a sudden, he starts having difficulties with his wife, and at the same time, a woman that catches his eye comes into his workplace, and it caught his eye. If that's not a lesson for you and I to say, you know what, Lord, today I need to put a boundary in place in my life, because I thought something, looked at something, and right now I'm going into dangerous places, and so I am not even going to think twice. And by the way, for some of you, you say, well, I'm an adult, I can handle it. Stop it. That is the biggest thing the enemy will use. There's many of us who refuse to put boundaries in our life because we say, well, I'm an adult, I'm not a kid, I don't need to do that. Yes, you do. I need them. And so a boundary needs to be placed in our lives. When you build boundaries, you show God how important he is to you. Do you want to see me respect a man? It's when a man all of a sudden does something that looks foolish to the world because he loves his bride. Well, tell me why you're going home right now. Well, guys, where you're going right now, there are some beautiful women that are going to be there. And the truth is I'm not strong enough to handle that. So I'm going to go home early and I'm going to go kiss my wife. God bless you. Boundaries can be healthy for an individual. If you're wondering, what are some boundaries that I can begin to build in my life? If you're a note taker, I want you to take these notes down. I'm going to rifle through these. Number one, many of us need to put boundaries around our time. Many of us, we say, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time. Yes, you do. It's what you do with your time. And many of us need to put boundaries around our time with God. Here's a question that I have for everyone in the room. If you're a Christian, do you have time every day set apart for just you and God? I don't want to hear about dinner time, breakfast time, praying over a meal. I don't want to hear time with you and your spouse. I want to hear just you. Do you have a time by yourself with God? If the answer is no, and you're a Christian, you've let a boundary go loose, and danger's coming. Do you have a boundary around your family? Do you have time with your family? I say this all the time, this illustration of a couple that came in and said, we don't talk anymore. We're on opposite ends of the fence. I don't even know who they are anymore. We have no more time. And I asked the question, how many times a week do you sit around a dinner table and have dinner together? Well, we don't. We don't have time. If you don't have time for you and your family, you need to make time. And you need to put a boundary around that. I put others here because here's the truth. God expects us as Christians to have time for others. He does not want us so busy and consumed with our lives that we never think of other people. When you go to your workplace, when you go to the grocery store, when you go and you do certain things, there are people that will be on your path that God will specifically allow you a short conversation with for the purpose of sharing a little bit about who He is. But some of us are running so fast, trust me, I know. Some of us are running so fast, we don't even think about other people. We've got to do what we've got to do because my life's so consumed, and isn't God proud of me because of all that I'm doing? And I will pause and tell you, it's not about all the stuff you accomplish. It's about what you do with your time that honors God. Will you take time to notice someone that is building a relationship and say, tell me your story? And last but not least, I put time around you. There are some of you that just need time for you. And what I mean by that is you need time to recharge. I've already talked about you in God time. I'm talking about you in fun time. There are some of you that need, there are some moms in this room. You need, oh great, all the ladies are going to say amen. You need a day at the mall. You need a day for a massage. There are some guys in this room that you need a day to go golfing. Guys, all the ladies were being good. They were like, amen, amen. And now the guy's like, amen, golf, you heard it. Got my afternoon planned out, honey. Time. You need boundaries around your time. Number two, you need boundaries around your tongue. Lying, sarcasm, white lies, gossip. If you partake in any of those things, watch out, because they will affect your character. You also need boundaries around your tendencies. And I'm not going to camp on this, but I just want you to hear me. If you're a Christian, God has a purpose for your life. If you're a Christian, you are uniquely, fearfully, and wonderfully made. You have incredible gifts and talents. God dreams bigger than you ever will. And God wants you to do incredible things. But there are some of us that don't dream anymore. There are some of us who have gotten comfortable. And because we've gotten comfortable, we continue to do the same thing day in and day out. And here's the thing you're missing. You don't feel like you're distant from God. You don't feel like there's anything wrong. But the truth is, what you're missing is out on God's dream for your life. And some of you need to have a time where you set aside and say, God, am I fulfilling what you've called me to do? You can be in a great place. You can be comfortable. But do you have the courage to look up at God and say, God, I'm dreaming. What is it that you are calling me to? I can tell you this, you can never outdream God in your life. Are you dreaming? Continuing on. Then Delilah said, you've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Now tell me how you can be tied up securely. And once again, Samson snaps the ropes. Then Delilah pouted. How can you tell me I love you when you don't share your secrets with me? If you ever want to see manipulation, because he won't tell her how she can have him tied up and tortured and killed, he doesn't love her. Some of you laugh. Some of you, all I have to do is take your life story and put it up on the screen. We'd be doing the same thing. And I'm not meaning that mean. Some of you are thinking, yes, in my past, I did that because I felt like it was about our love and it had nothing to do with that. Okay, that's a whole nother message series. When you don't share your secrets with me, you've made fun of me 3 times now and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. Guys, don't miss this. She tormented him with her nagging day after day until he was sick to death of it. And finally, Samson shared his secret with her. My hair has never been cut, he confessed, for I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as anyone else. Because Samson didn't put boundaries in his life, a line was drawn in the sand, and he kept moving closer and closer and closer and closer. And finally, he succumbed. Watch what happens. Delilah realized he had finally told her the truth, so she sent for the Philistine rulers. Come back one more time, she said, for he's finally told me his secret. So the Philistine rulers returned with the money in their hands. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap, and then she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In this way, she began to bring him down, and his strength left him. Then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. And when he woke up, he thought, I will do as before and shake myself free. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. Remember that point. So the Philistines captured him, gouged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. I say this often. My greatest fear is not that God would ever place his hand on me. My greatest fear is that God would take his hand off of me. And here's the truth. If you don't have boundaries in your life, what's going to happen is you're going to get so comfortable and you're going to let your guard down. And there will be a day when you don't realize that God has taken his hand off you. And it's in those moments that everything comes crashing down. You have friends. You have family members. Maybe you yourself have remembered where you were at in life. And you don't know how you got here. I can promise you it's because of a lack of boundaries. You need boundaries. We talked about some of those boundaries of time. Here are 3 things that I want you to write down as it talks to the types of boundaries we also need. Number one, today, an action step. Some of you need a boundary around people. It takes boldness to begin. Some of you need to say no to somebody. Some of you need to say yes to somebody. But I can promise you it's not easy, and it takes boldness. But that's a boundary you need to place. You need to place boundaries around the people that you have in your life. And some of you need to begin to say no, and some of you need to start saying yes to certain individuals that are going to encourage you in the right way. Here's the second thing. Some of you need to put a boundary around places. You need to add places, you need to avoid places. I'm going to share this with you. If you're a family, if you're a mom and a dad and you have kids, take yourselves out of it for a second. If your desire is for your kids to grow up in a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, to have the character and integrity that we talk about in this room, then you better be consistent in coming to church. If not for you, do it for your kids. Because we have a strategy for your kids. And we want to come alongside of you. And the greatest thing for some of you is that you're a dad or that you're a mom. And if not for you, you need to add a place, the church, a boundary. You need to start saying no to some things and start saying yes to being more consistent so that you and your family and the generations of your family will have a better future. I pray that you don't dismiss that, because there's a guy by the name of Samson who God had an amazing purpose for, and he squandered his whole life because he always thought he could do something different. The last thing I would say is personal. Here are 4 things that we're going to end on today. We teach these to all of our kids, that these are the 4 spiritual boundaries that you need to have in your life. And so let me ask you a question. Number one, do you hear from God? If you're not hearing from God, that means you don't have a boundary around your time that we talked about earlier. If you're not a Christian, I'm not talking necessarily about an audible voice. I'm talking about a voice through the Holy Spirit that prompts our heart and catches our attention. But if you're too busy and you're running around, you're not hearing from God. So if you're a note taker, I would write here down and I would circle it. And I would say, do every day, do I spend time hearing from God? If the answer is no, you need to have that boundary. You've got to put it in place. Number two, do you talk to others about God? I mentioned earlier, do you have time for others? But then do you talk to others? I'm praying today for two ladies that at the 11:30 service might show up. I won't tell you their names. They work at an establishment close by, an establishment that I go and I buy stuff from all the time. And I was there on Saturday and I said, hey, do you have a church you go to? No, I don't. You know what? I need to find one. Do you know the good one? I sure do. It's in North Carolina, but no, I'm just teasing. But here's the thing. She had a friend close. Don't miss this. Don't miss this, guys. And the only reason why I said that is because I built enough of a relationship where I knew that I could ask that question. But don't miss this when she turned to her friend who also works there, who I also know, and said, hey, do you want to go to church with me tomorrow? Yeah, I'm looking for a church too. It's not about going to church. It's about listening to God and what God can do in the life of a church. When you talk to others, you can have an influence in helping them get on the right track. Number three, do you pray? Do you talk to God? If you're not talking to God, you need to start. And last but not least, live. In the balcony, on the floor, and watching online, I can tell you this. The greatest problem that we have in the church is not people who talk about God. It's people who actually live their lives for God. It's time for some dads to start living their lives for God. It's time for some moms to start living their lives for God. If not for you, then for your kids. Because how you live your life, what you say, and then how you live is more impact than you ever realize. Because other people are watching. If you're a single adult in this room, how you live your life has more at stake than you'll ever realize. Don't just talk about, oh yeah, I love Jesus. Jesus is great. What are you doing in your life? How are you living your life? That says far more than you'll ever realize. I close with this. Samson, at the end of his life, I don't have time to read you the whole story, but let me tell you what happens to Samson. Samson gets captured. His eyes get gouged out. They throw him into prison. They parade him around the Philistines. The Philistines are cheering. The enemy has won. Samson is a man who falls and hits rock bottom. But don't miss how great God is. Samson, with no strength, lost everything. He looks up at God and said, God, I blew it. I didn't put any boundaries in my life. I let people manipulate me, and look at where I'm at today. But God, I'm sorry. And with the last breath of my life, what's left of it, I want to do something for you. And so God, if you would give me the strength, then I want to deliver my people from these Philistine rulers who are mocking you, who could care less about you and think they've won. So they put Samson chained up next to two pillars in a temple. And Samson cried out to God and said, God, give me my strength one last time. And God gave Samson the strength. He pushed over the pillars. The building came down, taking Samson's life, but all the Philistine rulers with it. It was not God's intention that Samson would live that kind of life. God had greater plans for him. But no matter how far you've fallen, no matter where you've hit rock bottom, here's what I would tell you. You are not far enough from God where he will not pour into you again. Hear from God, talk to others, pray to him, and live your life with the boundaries that God calls you to. And God will outdream you like ever before. Let's pray. God, I just pray for our folks. I ask for strong boundaries in the life of men, in the life of women. I pray for the individual who right now is walking like Samson and thinks that he can continue to make the choices that he's making. God, I pray for the Spirit of God in their life to be able to encourage them, convict them. God, I pray for these boundaries to help all of us to begin walking closer to you. So Lord, today, may we believe and trust in you that you have a better plan, that you're not trying to manipulate us because you have our best interests at heart. So Father, today, thank you for Samson and the life that we've learned from. May you receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information about the ministries at Oceanview, or if you'd like to speak to someone directly, you can visit our website at www.ovbc.org. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.